Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Radio's Affiliate Task Force on Thursday, November 20th, 2014. I'm Janice Lane Ewart, representing KFAI Fresh Air Radio in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and will chair this meeting. And I'd like to call the meeting to order and do roll call by asking each individual to identify themselves and which station or community they represent.
This is Michael Novick from KPFK in Los Angeles.
Campbell, WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Dina Colbert from New York City.
Was I audible? This is Michael Novick at KPFK in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
And Ursula, you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ursula Rosenberg at Pacifica National.
Is there anyone else that has not checked in to identify themselves? Okay, well, thank you. Let me read the agenda to those of you who may not have it in front of you, and then we'll call for approval of the agenda. The agenda is as follows: a roll call, which we just completed, approve the agenda, approval of minutes from the last meeting, guest of a new affiliate station, KOWN, which is a low-power station. William King will be joining us momentarily from Omaha, Nebraska. We'll have a report from Ursula, a report from the affiliate directors regarding the nominations process, reports and discussion about survey and its results, and then discussion of orienting new directors and new task force members, and then a report on the newsletter and the idea for a premium for affiliate stations, and then adjournment. Are there any adjustments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, there's no second needed in a committee process, as I understand it, so the agenda is approved. I do want to note that Teresa Allen, who typically takes the minutes, is unable to join us this evening, and so there will be a need for a volunteer to take minutes at tonight's meeting, which essentially will be a report on any actions that the task force approves or notes of importance.
Janice, I can do that if it's okay.
That would be great. Thank you, Ursula.
Okay. Yeah. I think we had one more person come on, too.
Is there someone who wasn't able to identify themselves during roll call?
Serene just joined.
Thank you, Serene. We'll now move to the approval of the minutes, which were distributed by Teresa Allen yesterday, I believe.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ankine.
I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
This is Ankine.
Hello, Ankine, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
Great. Could you identify the affiliate station that you're with for our minutes, please?
Sure, I'm with KPFK.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, Ankine. Michael Lovick.
Hi, Michael.
So we are at the agenda item of approving the minutes of our October 9th affiliate task force meeting. For those who are in receipt of the minutes and were in attendance at the last meeting, are there any adjustments to the minutes? Any revisions? The Then hearing none, I'll ask if there is a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Without objection.
Without objection, thank you.
I just need one point.
I'm sorry, is Serena, are you raising a question?
Abstaining.
Okay. So there will be an abstention to the approval of the minutes. Hearing no objections, then the minutes are approved. The next agenda item will be a discussion involving our guest, Mr. William King. Are you on the line now? We were invited him to join us at 7:15, and so we are a few minutes, at least a minute away from that. I'll ask Ursula if your report is brief, or if we should try to attempt to do another agenda item before Mr. King joins us.
I can give a pretty brief report. I think I can do it pretty quickly if you want to do that.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah, let's do that, and we'll certainly hear Mr. King come in, I believe.
Okay, then we can break off. Okay, well, very in my world, very, very big news, and this has been discussed a few times in the task force. Pacifica National has paid back all the amount of money they owe me. So
yay!
I'm a happy
Woo!
Camper. I know. It was about 2 weeks ago. I came home and there was an envelope, and it did not look like the usual notification of direct deposit. And I opened it, and there was a check for a considerable amount of money. So I'm able to wipe out my credit card debt, and the personal money has been rectified. So all that's outstanding now is the various funds that were donated to the program, and that's kind of next to sort out. Two new affiliates since the last meeting. One is KGVR in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the other is KOWN in Omaha, Nebraska, which I invited to speak with us tonight. Both of them are low power stations. They're part of the wave of new low power stations being built. And really nice to invite them. We're getting a lot. We're really experiencing a wave of affiliation. So we have, I think by now, about 12 or 15 stations that are at various stages of affiliating. So it's kind of a rush going on, including a few coal power stations, and I'm very excited about getting those back. One is a former station from the, do they call them traditional black colleges? Is that what they call them?
HBCU, historically black universities.
Historically black HBCUs.
Yeah, one is in Alabama, WJAB, and they're kind of interested. They were affiliates in the past, and they're interested in coming back, which is very, very cool. So hasn't been finished yet, but very, very nice that they're considering coming back.
That's great.
Yeah. The other thing is I asked the national office about the budget for the affiliates program, and they said that essentially what happened was they accepted it as submitted and incorporated it into the national budget. And in principle, as you know, we know that reality may be different, but in principle it was accepted. Generally the national office is expressing satisfaction with the rate and efficiency within with which we are processing and tracking down fees and getting them paid. And so as of September 1st, I guess the reason we're dating from September 1st is because that's when we began to really put pressure on people to pay so we could close our books. So since September 1st,
we've brought in $17,485 and change in fees that were from last year, FY14, which ended September 31st. We have about $10,000 outstanding still in uncollected fees. And those are going to be the toughest. And some of them will still be collected. Some we may have to consider a wash. But we will collect. We will get closer to the zero sum than $10,000. In FY15 fees, we've collected $56,941. So in total, in this past September, October, 2.5 months, we've collected $74,777.30. So that's the current state. Chris, the woman who's working with me, she's just very, very good at straightening this all out. So we're also getting a lot of contracts signed. So we're hoping this year we'll actually be all caught up with everything. And I'm feeling very good about that. And that's about it. Any questions?
I have two, Ursula.
Yeah.
One is the in the FY14-15 fiscal year, which we're currently in, you noted the amount that has been received. The amount that is budgeted for this year is $220,000-some, or could you be more specific?
I'd have to look through my records. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Considering the rate of affiliation, I think it's not unrealistic to say it'll be at least $130,000. Because, now, you know, on one hand, we're getting a lot of new stations. On the other hand, a lot of them are startups, so they're not going to be paying a whole lot. But I think $130,000 is a reasonable fee, a reasonable amount.
Okay. And then there's typically an amount of bad debt that gets written off each year from the affiliates. And it sounds, my question is, the between $5,000 and $10,000, is that a typical amount for bad debt from affiliates?
I'm sorry, I didn't completely understand you. Are you saying that the deficit is typical?
No, I'll rephrase the question. Typically when the books are closed at the end of the fiscal year for the affiliate program, there is typically an amount that's written off as bad debt, meaning that it's uncollectible.
Right.
Is it typical that that amount is between $3,000 to $5,000, or has it been as high as $10,000?
Up until the last 4 years or so, it was practically a zero.
Okay.
Uncollected debt was almost unheard of. Now, it's probably more than, it's really since, you know, the economy went south, it's become a little bit more. But it's a little bit hard for me to say again because we lost control of the records in the last year.
Okay.
It became kind of a free-for-all for about a year or two. So I don't know whether that coincides with the economy. It certainly this year, to some extent, it had to do with the demise of FSRM. That made a difference.
Yes. Okay, I asked for the record so that we'd be able to have some sense of how well we may be doing in this coming fiscal year, and with the advent of new assistance from a financial management perspective, we are likely able to do better tracking than has been the case previously.
Yeah, the systems have improved just dramatically. It's things are actually functioning very well, which is really exciting.
Great. Yeah. There are probably other questions, and let's take a few more before we determine. Okay, before we determine if William King is on the line. Shireen, you're next, and did I hear anyone else?
Campbell.
Okay, Shireen, then Campbell.
Okay, thanks. Just a quick question, Ursula. Can you, will you be sending us a written report, or perhaps you did? I haven't been online.
A written report of this?
Yeah, your updates.
Yeah, sure. I can I can post it to the listserv afterwards. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks.
Yes. And I'm sorry, before Campbell comes on, it'll also be part of the minutes of
right.
today's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Campbell?
Yes. I was wondering, Ursula, you mentioned that the indebtedness has gotten better in recent times, but is there a accounting of the carryover from prior years?
By indebted means, you mean the uncollected fees?
Correct.
No, there isn't, because I don't really have access to records of what exactly happened.
And I'll try to clarify that for you a little bit, Campbell, pretty succinctly. The process of issuing contracts and collection of those contracted fees for many years were the specific responsibility of Ursula, and when there were a larger team of staff members that tracked that, the in and out, however, in the last 3 years that has changed, and the what I would probably accurately say is the commingling of funds received from affiliates and the national office were not as accurately tracked or carefully tracked as in previous years. Specifically, the details were not necessarily shared with the coordinator.
And question, was any of this subject to the audit that we have, the external audit that we get annually?
Yes, all of the records are subject to the audit. However, the separation of affiliate fees and the audit process is not delineated. It's not specifically delineated as it is with the network stations.
Serene, with a question, if I could.
Okay.
If Campbell doesn't have another follow-up.
No, I'm done.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so Ursula, my question is, and I'm not trying to give you extra work, I'm aware that you're already doing several jobs, but have you approached any of the stations asking them whether they could provide you with copies of cancel checks or wire transfers or that sort of thing of their previous payments?
Yeah, we've done a lot of that. The answer is yes. That's to a large extent, that's how we've been able to recoup a lot of the money in the past. You know, I mean, that's yes, we've done a lot of that.
Okay, so that although, sorry, you finished?
I'm a little bit confused about what you're asking here.
I guess what I'm asking is if there's any way to try to, I mean, we wouldn't necessarily have a comprehensive record of what monies were sent, you know, to Berkeley over the past 3 years, you know, prior to whatever. But I'm wondering how close you can come in terms of records that you're getting from the stations directly, from the affiliates directly, to estimating what kinds of monies were being paid.
I'm trying to understand exactly what you're asking for. I mean,
well, okay.
The difference between what should have been paid and what was, you're looking for the difference or what exactly are
no,
you
No, no,
no.
What I understand is that essentially payments were being sent into the national office.
Not necessarily. This is the thing. I don't have any accurate record of payment or billing.
Right. So I guess I'm asking if you can sort of recreate, not, and I understand it'll be partial because not every station is going to be in a position to do it or have the time or the inclination to do it, but have you approached any of the stations about looking at them reexamining their records and saying, oh, well, you know, we sent you $10,000 in 2011, and we sent you $20,000 in 2012, and we sent you $15,000 in 2013. Is there any way we can begin to approximate what monies were being sent into the national office that weren't being, you know, recorded separately, that weren't being reported to you?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to visualize what you're saying.
May I answer that, Ursula?
I'll be really honest. I mean, my folks here in the office and I have focused all of our attention into getting the record straight for now.
I got that.
So that we get on track. And that has been a monumental task, and that's what we have focused all our energy on now. We do ask stations, you know, if there's, I'm trying to think of why I'm not giving you an answer that satisfies you. But the truth is that there's a lot of turnover at the affiliate stations too. And so often they don't necessarily have the institutional memory and there's a lot of variables here. And, we found that the most important thing was for us to focus on getting things on track so that our relationships with our affiliates would become clear at this point, that we would look professional to them and look like we knew what we were doing. The answer is yes. I've spent a great deal of time going to stations and kind of politely and embarrassedly and sheepishly saying, you know what, we don't know exactly, can you tell us? And there's been a lot of that. But have we focused on building a profile of what happened? No, because right now we're focusing completely on getting everything legal and paid. That's what we've been focusing on. Okay. And I don't know. You know, it's also very embarrassing when you start to pursue stations and you ask them if they paid, and it turns out they did, and I just didn't know, you know, I just don't know it. It's just, there's a limit to how much I want to present to our clients that, that we didn't really have records of what happened. There's a lot of variations on this. I know that's not a satisfactory answer, but you know, there's a lot of variables here.
Thank you, Ursula. I'm aware that you have a lot of other things that you need to do. I was just wondering what if anything, we had by way of a look back. So that's fine. Thank you.
Right. Right now, our priority was just to stop the free fall and to recoup as much money as we could. And we have. We've actively, worked on collecting money that was uncollected. And then there's inevitably kind of this point where you're kind of like, the benefits of pursuing something begin to diminish. And
thank you, Ursula. I'd like to ask if our guest, William King from Omaha, Nebraska, has joined the call.
Let me see if I can get...
Madam Chair?
Yes, just a minute.
Sure.
I also want to say one more thing about this looking back, which has been a factor too, which is, you know, we've had we've been dealing with a lot of turnover at the national office, and really figuring this stuff out really requires a lot of information from the national office too, and that has been very difficult to do under the circumstances in the last 2 years because there's been so much change and so much happening. So, you know, that's another factor.
Thank you, Ursula.
Let me get off the phone real quick and call William. Maybe he has a problem.
Or if you can send him a text in the event that there's something you also need to hear. Someone else raised their hand, so to speak.
Yes, Campbell. Okay, what I was just going to mention is that I can understand the, shall we say, exigencies in terms of Pacifica's staffing dynamics and whatnot, but it is a routine matter, certainly even for credit unions, to contact members and ask them if they've had, you know, what the status is of their particular accounts. And so that's part of a normal part of an audit. That's the kind of testing that's done by the auditor. But this could similarly be done within Pacifica itself to send out a correspondence and please, you know, indicate the status of your account for the past couple of years. We show thus and so in terms of contracts and, you know, were these fully paid? And so that's, it's something that can be done very simply just by sending out a correspondence to all of them. And, you know, you probably will get a good, a decent response on that. So I was just going to mention, it seemed as though Ursula was concerned that this would make us maybe look bad in the light of our affiliates. I don't think it should at all. But it's just a normal kind of inquiry you have to confirm your books. Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. I am aware that that is a process that does take place through an audit, and we're slightly behind in the audit process. That would be an item that can be included in the minutes, and later the Ursula and in consultation with the current national office staff could determine if it is a process that they'd like to put in place for the last fiscal year. I do want to remind us that with the loss of FSRN, there were several affiliates, including my own station, who had to make some significant shifts to fill that programming slot. And while it did not damage the relationship with Pacifica, it did create a period of uncertainty. And so any process that is considered and then implemented needs to take into account the delicacy between some of the stations and Pacifica.
Sure.
Certainly not the bulk of them, but it certainly would require some diplomacy. If Ursula and or Mr. King have returned to the call.
Yes, I'm here, William King.
Thank you. Welcome. I want to just ask if Ursula is here. She can introduce you. However, Ursula, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
So would you introduce our guests? And it is 7:37. We'd be happy to hear from you, Mr. King, from now until 7:50 Central Time.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Mr. King and I actually don't know each other very well. We met once last summer, and he's from Omaha, so I'm going to ask you, William, to describe who you are yourself and what organization you're with. I'm excited because this is a new Midwestern community radio station in a great town, and it's a low-power station that is just going on the air. You're not on the air yet, are you, William?
Not yet.
Yeah. Why don't I pass it over to you, and I'll learn, too, from hearing what you have to say.
Okay. Again, my name is William King. Our station, well, basically started from a prayer. We initially started with Part 15 technology on the AM side. So I purchased Hamilton Range Master Transmitters, which broadcasts at a tenth of a watt. You really don't need an FCC license to broadcast. And transitioned over to Internet so we can get more analytics. And then eventually, you know, I heard about this legislation. Lee Terry, who is one of the co-authors, was our representative. And so I had, direct contact, you know, with him, and then also dealing with Mr. Gould, who filed fraudulent applications across the nation.
William, explain what legislation you're talking about.
The Low Power Community Radio Act. The Local Community Radio Act.
Which essentially opened up the filing window for local stations.
Yeah, which opened up the for 100 watt station. President Obama signed into law. And so Lee Terry was very proactive and very helpful when I had problems with Mr. Gould. And then and also that helped stations all across the nation. And so I've always been proactive. Omaha is one of the poorest areas in regards to childhood poverty. They rank Omaha is one of the most dangerous places for a black man to live. And it's my responsibility is to make sure that we change that paradigm. And so these last few weeks, we met our goal to at least purchase our antenna and transmitter, and so met with an engineer who's actually going to volunteer time, which would save us money because they know that people have responsibility to help change our community. And so I'm elementary in radio. I come from a background of TV. I know for a fact that whoever controls the circumference of your education controls the diameter of your actions. My degree is in behavioral science, and I've been asking God what's the common denominator of changing or raising a community, and it's the word. And so now we have control of our words, and so I want to make sure that we use the right words, forming the right sentences, and creating the right paragraphs so we can, you know, really change our community. And when we met Ursula, just during the grassroots radio conference, and we're talking about the totality of working together as a unit in regards to low power stations, the ability to share content, help young people in regards to music in different regions in different areas of the country, but also coming together as a solid unit. So we can go after Fortune 500 companies, so we can get a share of that ad revenue also, or underwriting as the words that we should be saying. So right now, like I said, I'm elementary, but I've been learning as I go. My background is basically been in public access TV. I'm a former probation officer. My last job, I've done domestic violence counseling. And so like I said, the station's research, our format's going to be adult contemporary format. Every hour, we're going to implement some kind of science or some kind of knowledge where we're talking about the past, current events, or future opportunities. So we'll be less ignorant from the previous hour. We'll have solution-based shows in regards to different areas, regards finance, health, education, spirituality, and as well as how-to shows so we can be more self-reliant, less dependent on others. We're going to implement several business opportunities through our station, because one of the main things that we want to promote is this entrepreneurship. We're really not going to be the traditional radio station that you've seen in the past. We'll be the first station that's going to be streaming live video of all our shows, so people can watch us as well as hear us. We're going after their ears and eyes in regards to programming. That's very significant because people learn at different points. And like I said, this is research for me. Also, our program has to be diverse. The only way to attract or attack isms is to actually work with a diverse team, so people can see that, oh, actually, people can work together from from different ethnicity, backgrounds, experiences, et cetera, et cetera. So the ultimate goal is to transform this community by putting out consistent content, but also developing a business model where individuals like anyone from A to Z in the community can create their own business. One of the things we're going to develop is called Boss Mobile, which is like a mobile app where it's basically a virtual store. It's a combination of eBay as well as Craigslist. Individuals can have a virtual garage sale. Instead of having it physically, they upload pictures, put a price on it, and trade those products at a small price. These are the things that we're going to implement through our station. Another tool, another thing that we're going to implement as far as products, we're going to focus on products and diversify our revenue streams. We're not trying to be like the traditional radio station where you depend on fundraising, only fundraising and underwriting. So some of the things some of the revenue streams that we're going to focus on, especially since I come from the background of video, one of the things that we do, we have live shows, so we can record them. So we create a revenue stream by selling DVDs, not only to the host, but to the guests. For our shows, especially on the AM side, on the internet side, we charge $25 for a hour slot. And when I mean AM, I mean internet, because right now we're broadcasting on the internet. We're going to keep both formats once we get to FM. And we're going to have different shows on both formats. Our shows are going to be different. Social Zing, that's a product we're going to sell. Social Zing is a business, I call it a marketing arm for a small business. It does everything. You can do text mail marketing, email marketing. You can do video conferencing up to 100 people. You can do video email marketing. It also gather all your social networks into one unit where you can do autopilot campaigns into the future. So we're going to be selling that product to businesses. And then also, since we do a lot of video, we'll do commercials for the community. Fundraising, sponsor events. Another thing that we're going to do is rent out a hotel once a month and have old school parties as a fundraiser. Here in North Omaha, there's nowhere to go as far as to socialize if you're 30 and up. And so we'll do a monthly party, and that'll be our annual fundraiser. Bring in local bands, as well as hopefully maybe even attract some national acts. Another one is ads, and number 11 is memberships. Those are 11 revenue streams that we're going to implement day one once we start our station. We're not just going to depend on just two like most radio stations. And I guess I have this philosophy because I've read political campaigns that you really have to have a shotgun approach where you have hidden all entities. So my ultimate goal is, to change our environment, and I really believe that we got to create entrepreneurs. I really believe that we have to have solution-based shows that's teaching people how to fish where they're dependent and where they're less ignorant from the previous hour. So I really believe that we need to implement knowledge as much as possible, inform people of opportunities, as well as take risks in some of the opportunities that exist. And so my next goal, and I'm planning for it now, we're going to be building a Wi-Fi network. And so I already have an infrastructure contract with Omaha Housing Authority here at Omaha. And I have access to 11 buildings. And so we didn't get the grant. We didn't get the grant that we received, but what we're going to build is still economical, where we just still get the job done. So I'm proud to be part of an organization where we can link on a national level that's necessary in order to come with a solid voice, especially when we're going to be advocating to get funding from major sponsors.
Thank you, William. That was an incredible presentation with much that we all, I believe, can learn from, with the level of enthusiasm and the 11 initiatives for securing financial stability for your station. It's quite admirable, and I'd like to ask if there are questions from the affiliate members.
It's Campbell.
Campbell, and then if there are others, let's entertain questions for the next 10 minutes, please.
Adriana?
Okay, Campbell, then Adriana.
No, I'm sorry, Janice. I want to let you know that I was in the call, and I didn't want to interrupt because I was really so interested in what he was saying. I just want to let you know that I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So, Campbell, and then if there are others, that'd be great.
Thank you, Madam Chair. William, I'm rather familiar with Omaha. I did some consulting there some years back. The thing I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm and the range of opportunities that you're looking to undertake, and I can recall that people in Omaha had a very positive orientation. I know that they created Lincoln Federal Credit Union as a result of one of the programs I was doing consulting to when I was there. But I wanted to just mention that it would be very good for you to have some discussions with somebody who is rather savvy about nonprofit operations, because some of the oftentimes it's just semantics, but there are some bottom line kinds of issues that you need to be mindful of to avoid someone tagging your station with being a for-profit. You're a nonprofit, and you're asking for contributions. You're providing promotional materials to people, or incentives, or gifts in return for donations, things of that sort. That, I think, is very important to make clear. And in terms of dealing with somebody with nonprofit expertise, when you're collecting these donations and whatnot, you need to make plain to what extent these donations are without any reimbursement or compensation for them. If you have a dinner and you charge $75 a plate for the dinner, and it costs you $50 a plate, then the donated part is the $25. The remainder cannot be considered as a donation. This is something maybe you'd want to talk with a tax accountant or something, or someone of that sort, or just someone who's generally familiar with nonprofit operation, so that you don't lean over too far into what may be considered a for-profit operation.
I appreciate that, sir. And we do have a accountant on staff, and so far everything is green light.
great. That's, I'm glad to hear that, William, and I would also ask you offline to just connect with Ursula regarding getting on some of the other listservs that are very prevalent across the networks that provide opportunities for you to raise questions as you move along with the development of your station. Are there other questions or observations from our affiliate task force members?
This is Dina. Thank you so much for sharing with us. My question is, how many people are involved in this enterprise of getting it up and running?
Well, we'll bring the full team on probably by next week. It'll probably be five of us.
Uh-huh.
Yep, it'll be five of us. And it's mainly gentlemen that's been on the video side, so we can implement the video parts that we want to communicate with. The IT stuff, we have a couple of gentlemen that work for ConAgra and Union Pacific, and they work in IT. So a lot of those gentlemen are going to put in sweat equity currently until we start to manifest the underwriting.
Great.
That's great, William. There are many full power stations that are not operating with five live people. So I'm really happy to learn more about KOWNLP and look forward to having you continue to be in touch with and in movement with the Pacifica affiliates as well as the GRC grouping.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
appreciate
you, William.
Thank you for this opportunity to introduce myself, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Okay, that sounds great.
William, did I hear correctly that you located a transmitter?
Excuse me?
Did I hear correctly that you've located a transmitter?
Well, I've raised enough funds so we can purchase one.
Okay.
I've been looking at quotes right now to see what's best out there. But I am still looking, you know, we all nonprofit. And so if someone out there does have one, one out there that's gated dust, I will take a used one.
Okay. Okay, we'll keep looking, man. I wasn't sure if you were still looking.
Quick question.
Okay, great.
What's your website?
Thank you so much for joining us, William. I really appreciate it. I look forward to speaking with you next.
Okay, no
Thank
problem.
You.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Ursula, can you hear me at all?
Can I?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, okay, good. I was trying to catch Mr. King's attention. I wanted to know the website, but perhaps you know it.
Oh.
KOWN or whatever.
I'm not sure they have a website yet.
I think I understood him to say that will be coming up in the next week or two.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You certainly could check Serene based on their call letters.
Yeah, KOWN, right, Ursula?
Yeah, KOWN. I see something here. Yeah, it doesn't look like a website yet. There was something... it's interesting. They seem to have an AM and FM channel, which I didn't completely understand. I didn't want to take up time, but I'll have to ask them about that sometime. I'm not sure exactly what's happening with that.
Well, that would be unusual since they apply for a low-power license.
Yeah. I just didn't want to take up time because there is a... There is a KOWN right now with a program schedule, and it's an AM station, and I don't know. And, you know, I don't quite get it yet, but I'll ask them next time I speak with them.
Thank you. So moving ahead, the remaining agenda items are, for those who may not have access to a computer, our report from the affiliate directors regarding nominations, reports and discussion about survey and results, discussion of orienting new directors and new task force members, and last, report on the newsletter and an idea for premiums for stations. Did someone else just join us? Okay, then moving ahead, the affiliate directors and the coordinator did the distribution of the call for nominations over the last 2.5 months. Notices were distributed to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, to the grassroots conference sites, to all of the affiliate stations, which are over 125, I believe, and of course, I may be a little off there. And then several of us, myself, Norm Stockwell, Ursula, and Heather also made direct calls to general managers at 15 stations to ask for suggestions of potential candidates within their circle or within the community radio circle of Pacifica stations. We divided the list and made phone calls to those individuals to determine if there is an interest and serving in this capacity, and we spoke to many who had interest, however, did not have the time to commit to the effort or were not affiliated with associations that would allow them to be eligible to participate as affiliates. In the last 3 days, we spoke to 7 different individuals, and as a result of those conversations, have a good beginning list for those who would consider nominating themselves next year, but recognize that they weren't able to make that commitment now due to their positions at their stations or in their community. On the day of the deadline, nominations were sent to the PNB Secretary, Serene Roberts, and if there are any other details that Ursula wants to add that I did not cover, certainly we'll turn the floor over to you, Ursula.
Okay. No, I just want to clarify that I was not involved with the process. I mean, other than sending out the notice of nominations.
That is correct. I'm sorry if I gave that impression.
Yeah.
Any questions about the process that ensued over the last 8 weeks? Hearing no questions.
Tina, I just want to say thank you for agreeing to continue having the rollover of at least one of the two directors. Really helps for continuity's sake. So I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to thank you too, Janice. I want to second that. She's right. It's really very, very helpful.
Well, thank you. I let it be clear so that the minutes will certainly reflect that I submitted a nomination. There's certainly no guarantee that I will be elected, but I am willing to serve I am willing to serve and provide some continuity. And as in case it's not clear that the other candidate who has submitted a nomination is Rip Robbins, who previously served as an affiliate director in 2006. So there will be two different levels of continuity should one or either or both of us be elected. So if there are no other questions, I'll move on to the
reports and discussion about the survey and results. I'm not sure if that's Dina or if that's Dina and Ursula. Or neither.
That's me. It's me.
Okay. Okay.
Well, mostly I was just I was interested in feedback from the people that did the surveys and asking them to if they can describe what happened.
So Dina, Teresa, I believe was had also volunteered, and were there other volunteers for the?
Well, in this case, it would be Michael, Doreen, and Ankine, I think, or this, or Ariana. Did you? I think you also got some names. Maybe she's not on the call.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
You got some names as well, right, to call?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So it's Ankine, Michael, and Serene.
Yes.
Do any of you have any feedback about the process?
Well, this is Ankine. I'd like to say that I was very caught up in personal stuff, so I actually today, I had not heard back from anybody, and so today I emailed everybody again. So I have not surveyed anybody yet. And what I'm going to do is I think go and find their website and also place a phone call if I don't hear from them in a couple of days.
Okay. Serene, any feedback? I guess she's not here. Michael, are you still here?
Michael, are you on mute? So Michael may have dropped from the call. We'll need to let the records reflect that the survey process is still in motion, and we will probably need to make some individual calls outside of this meeting to move that process forward.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of hoping to get a sense of, you know, whether people have finished their thing or not, but I guess that's not going to happen on this call. All right.
Yeah, it doesn't appear so.
Yeah.
The next item on the agenda is discussion of orientation of new directors and new task force members. And I believe this is on the agenda so that we could establish some of the information that we'd want to ensure is carried over to the next set of elected affiliate task force members, as well as any other affiliate stations that join us in the coming year, the calendar year. I can open the floor for discussion, particularly from Dina and or Ursula, who've had a longer participation in this process and may be able to tell us if there's been a formal or any kind of orientation process in place prior to our discussion today.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, Campbell.
Yes, Campbell. And then I would like to hear from Dina and or
sure.
Ursula as well.
Yes, I was just going to mention that several years ago, we had the very good circumstance that the national office, and I think that Ursula had pretty much shepherded the process, was able to put together an orientation guide for the national board, PNB. And that was a very attractive item. I think it helped to orient people in a very positive way about a lot of the potential of the affiliates task force. And I think that I'm a bit taken aback, I guess, about the less than maybe overwhelming participation this evening in the conference call, because one thing that I had believed and still do believe, in fact, it may be even more of a factor now, that the future, Pacifica's future, really lies in the hands of its affiliates. And as the affiliates, you know, become more numerous and stronger, then Pacifica has an opportunity to become stronger. While a number of the initial stations, the major stations, five major stations, can get caught up into a lot of political infighting and whatnot like that, I think that the affiliates, because they have a clear vision on growth, on development, on the kinds of things that they need, can serve maybe in a sense of leading from the rear, so to speak, or leading from the body in terms of the growth and development of Pacifica. And I felt that this was also an opportunity for the affiliates to get stronger as well and to secure additional outside funding. There have been a couple of opportunities that I'm familiar with that Ursula had taken advantage of and secured some grant funding for the affiliates program. And I think that this is something that can be an opportunity in the future. And with hopefully more stability in Pacifica going forward, I think that this would present an opportunity for Pacifica to be a more viable grant recipient and an entity that can carry out the intentions of a grant. So, therefore, I'm just suggesting that we do have something that may be of value going forward in terms of what had been created previously, and if this could be shared with the group, then maybe any additions or modifications might be coming forward. I'm sure that Ursula may have some additional ideas that she would like to contribute in this regard, but I think it's very important to have, in addition to the time that's spent at a meeting, at an in-person meeting of the PMB, that there would be some documentation, something people can put in their hands, hold, and maybe share with other folks about what the Affiliates Task Force is, what its promise is, and the opportunities that exist within it for the growth and development of Pacifica as a network. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Campbell. Thank you so much. Gina and Ursula, if you could respond to whether or not there is specific documentation in place now for an orientation process, and if not, we may consider, I'd like to have us consider offline a small subcommittee that may pull together a process that's based on the nature of the affiliate task force, the affiliate stations, and any other procedural manuals that others might bring forward regarding orientation.
Well, the presentation that Campbell was referring to, that is basically a document that could be altered a tiny bit, but basically I think it pretty much stands as can be used again. And, you know, we could provide that. That was kind of oriented towards the whole board.
Yeah.
And we certainly, I do.
I'm sorry. I hung up when I was trying to switch over from mute.
Okay, Dina. Ursula is just finishing a statement, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay,
we have approximately we have about 18 minutes left in the meeting.
We can put that together and you know, kind of dust it off and see if there's anything that needs to be changed. But, yeah, Campbell, we can do that. Thank you for, you know. The other thing I guess I would want to say is that
I'd be curious, maybe not now in this time frame, but Janice, you know, when you started at the beginning of the year, Chris and I went up to Minneapolis and had lunch with you and kind of tried to, or, you know, provide an orientation that way. And I'd be curious if you could, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, now think back and think, like, what could we have done better, what worked, or just any insight you might have in terms of, because that's what we were consciously trying to do at
yes.
the time.
And, it, you know, it worked. It was perfect. I wouldn't change anything to that process.
No, okay, so we'll fly out to Washington and meet with Rip.
That would be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Just have to hit the rewind button.
Yep, and put out our paper cups to collect a few coins. Dina, if you want to add anything to the discussion, and I know that you don't have the possibility of knowing what's been said previously, but I'll just make it really quick in that Campbell described a process that's been in place. And
no, I heard Campbell. That's
okay,
when I...
then if there's anything else you'd like to add regarding
orientation. I didn't
orientation.
Hear what Ursula said, but I know in the past there's been an orientation book on the affiliates that we've given to new board members. And more impressive, there's a video or a series of videos that have shown different affiliates and what their affiliation meant to, what the Pacifica affiliation meant to them. And that made it much more real for the board members to understand what affiliates are about. I don't know if we have any of those videos. Even a piece of the GRC that happened last summer, some of all of that might be put together to give to new board members, to give them a flavor of the depth and the breadth of the affiliates across the country. So that's the first suggestion. I want to address something that Campbell said that he may not be aware of. I heard you make a reference to that you were surprised by, I thought what you meant was the lack of numbers of people on the affiliate task force tonight. If I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Okay. And I would just like to say that and this is only me talking, but the Pacifica National Board has double booked the same night as the affiliate task force probably half of this year. That the task force meeting has been disrupted consistently and always at the last minute. My suggestion would be that as much as I think people would not like it, we find a different night that can be consistent for one night a month, because we were at the beck and call of the national board meeting this year, and we missed at least half of the meetings.
I know I missed some because of that also. I get the last.
But what happens is you become more and more apathetic.
Yeah.
And that's the end result, is the apathy. And why would people come on a call when there's been no continuity and nothing gets done?
Right.
And it's nobody's fault. This isn't a blame at this point. It's, okay, we have a new year coming up. What changes can be put in place that will help the affiliate task force? It's not about blame. Let's just move on. That having it on a Thursday night doesn't work any longer. What night would work, because it's only once a month, and then for consistency, build it up. And while we're bringing in new radio stations, I also think it would be really useful to bring in one or two affiliate stations to each meeting so that there are more affiliate there's more affiliate representation in the monthly meetings.
Exactly.
Even if it's only a 1 month, you know, and they rotate, we have more than enough affiliates so that one or two affiliates can come on the calls so that they get a sense of what's going on also.
Thank you, Gina.
Yeah, those are suggestions. Things that the new directors need to follow through on is, I think we're probably at like 97 or 98% ready to put together the PowerPoint for the unit representation to the national board and for the underwriting program to at least get it off the ground. I think it will be finished by the end of this year, but if it isn't, certainly it would be really fabulous if Rip and you could continue to make that happen and to help Ursula get that off the ground. That would be the first priority. And then we did set up a format for a newsletter that would be another piece of just continuing, and the same thing with the survey. All of these are projects that have started. They need to be picked up and move forward.
Thank you, Dina. Those are very astute observations. I would find it difficult for any of us to be against any of your suggestions, and I'm sure that Ursula has captured the essence of what you've described for the minutes. Is there any other discussion regarding the orientation?
I just in reference to what Dina said, I forgot to mention this in the report. About a month ago, Matt and I decided to bring the website back to life because it just had been stagnant for too long. And so if you go to PacificaNetwork.org, you'll see on the homepage that we're regularly adding stories now about new affiliates and events happening at affiliates. And there's actually quite a bit of information on the website now about affiliates. If you're ever interested, it's at PacificaNetwork.org.
Madam Chair.
Great. That's. I'm glad to hear that, Ursula, and I would say that if there are a group of two or three individuals that would like to just consult with you about the orientation book/process that you shared with me when I came on board, and which, of course, exists from the perspective of the presentation that Campbell has referenced, that now would be a good time to identify yourself. And before I take Campbell's comment, I want to ask if there are any of the members on this call that are interested in formalizing an orientation document, be it a video and or written documentation. So I will ask Ursula then if you could find the materials that you've referenced that you use with me, and if there's still the video presentation that was mentioned, if you could bring that forth, I would spend maybe 2 hours with you to make sure that it's at a place where it could be shared with Rip. I think it would also have relevancy for affiliate station members that we will hope will return to or will work to get them to return to regular meetings next year. I'm in favor of Dina's comment to choose another night and to start the year really fresh, knowing that we'll make additional progress if we can have consistency.
Dina, I don't know what you're referring to with the video. Can you tell me what you mean?
Oh, this goes way back. I'm talking way back, but we interviewed people at a GRC You interviewed a series of stations at GRC's, and you put a video together. I think Pete was still the webmaster at that time. So we're going back quite a few years. But I don't think that anything they said isn't more relevant today than it was then. You know, I think it could be used, unless they're not affiliates any longer. But I do believe that we had not 1 year, we did it like 2 years in a row. And my memory is that the board members really got a lot out of it because they suddenly understood what an affiliate was. It's one thing to say we have affiliate stations, but if you've never been to them, you don't know the depth and the breadth of the varieties of stations, and that's what you captured.
Wow. Okay.
I don't remember.
I have no memory of that, but it's a good point, and I mean, today we've got YouTube, so maybe there's something we could do with YouTube.
Right.
You never know.
I know that somewhere in the archives we have more than one video of you know, stations talking about the affiliate program. Now, some of it I don't know how relevant, because we've lost Free Speech Radio News, and you know, there are differences than in those years, but I really think a lot of it would be appropriate, and I don't think it's about work. I think it's just about finding it.
Okay, that sounds great. Campbell, you wanted to make a statement, had a question. Campbell, let's be mindful. We have 5 minutes left.
Sure. I'm mindful of that, and I have just one particular comment to make, and that is that WIFM, and this was something from grad school I remember, what's in it for me is what people are concerned about. And I think that this is an emphasis, rather than the focus, certainly it should be on the affiliates, but what the meaning of a strong affiliates network can mean for the development of Pacifica. And that can, I think, help bring a lot of the board members out of their provincial self-interest to maybe have an interest in the overall success of Pacifica, a greater interest in that. And if the orientation package can include that amongst its mission, is to help strengthen the overall ability of Pacifica to address the broad mission that it has.
Thank you, Campbell.
Thank you.
Great. We have one remaining agenda item, and it is the material that was, I'm wanting to get to this, sorry, I kind of lost my pull here. I need to go back to another place where I was with the agenda. The other item listed here was the information distributed from Heather regarding a conversation with the Smithsonian and the potential opportunity to have recordings from the Smithsonian made available to the stations for premiums, and I'm trying to pull that back up so that I can be more specific. And this was sent to us yesterday, and it indicates that the Smithsonian Folkways has some Tanzanian recordings and then other opportunities that may be available for premiums to affiliates and the Pacifica stations. Because Heather is not here, I can't speak to it as clearly as she could. So I will ask you, if you've not read this carefully, please do so. She does say
that she wanted to share this email with everyone for their review, and I would just recommend that we place this on the agenda for our next immediate meeting where she'd be able to lead this conversation. Is that acceptable to the group?
Without objection.
Great. Well, we will do so. If there are no other items for us to cover, I think I'd want to just ensure from Dina's comment, we would potentially be meeting one last time this year if we were to continue with our third Thursday of the month. Am I looking at the right calendar? That would actually not work because, we would potentially meet on Thursday, December 18th. And at this juncture, we have no way of knowing if that's going to be a PNB meeting. However, we could certainly notice it if it's not been done so already and try to cap some of the points raised at today's meeting, particularly regarding the survey and the newsletter and potentially the suggestion of looking at a different meeting date for 2015. Does that seem reasonable?
Reasonable.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Janice, could you repeat that? I got lost somewhere along the line.
Here's the short version, that we will meet on Thursday, December 18th. We will focus on action items that were not completed at today's meeting so that we can begin 2015 with a specific meeting date that would not coincide with PNB meetings, that we would finalize the survey results and discussion about the newsletter and Smithsonian items as possible premiums, and that would be the bulk of our discussion. And I would recommend that we not have a guest at that meeting so that we could end the year with some specific action items completed.
Okay, got it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ankine. If I can't get in touch with the station, Ursula, do you have a number you can share with us that I can use to call?
I sent you the numbers. In the initial email, I sent you the numbers and the email addresses. Did you try those numbers?
Okay, no, I'm sorry, I didn't notice. Okay, there's a number there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So I believe we've had a really fruitful and very informative meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Thank you, particularly Ursula. Yes?
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the minutes. And I will say it's 8:32, and we'll call the meeting to a close.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moved.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.